Chapter 15. Warriors of Titan. There was a shift in the cutter's center of gravity, a lurch in its smooth acceleration as mass detached itself. In the cramped quarters of the cutter's command deck, Lady Inquisitor Venand watched the infiltration craft speed away upon a hololithic display. Its matte black hull was lost to sight quickly. When it engaged its sophisticated baffles and auger blinds, it winked out of existence. A ripple on the stars, and then it was gone. She made a silent prayer to the Emperor, asking if she had done the right thing. Lariel Ray piloted the infiltrator. The Imperium needed allies. She hoped the Harlequin might be one sometime in the future. Venand had no doubt at all that she would get away from Sol. There were three crew on the bridge, a shipmaster pilot, an auger and weapons operative, and a transmechanic Magos. All of them wore the inquisitorial barred eye as much in their minds as they did on their clothes. They knew better than to ask questions. Venand retreated to her quarters. She fell into a deep and dreamless sleep of the kind she only experienced in the void until Rendenstein came and woke her gently.
"Lady, we approach Saturn. I thought you might like to see."
"Thank you." Venand touched Rendenstein's hand where it rested on her shoulder. The two of them had drifted apart, physically, over the long months of the war against the Beast. Having her there still brought comfort. She hoped Rendenstein understood. Venand had felt better. Her teeth were furred and her breath stank. She needed to stop. Soon. She considered stims to carry her through, but that road ended badly for many. She needed to become tougher. There was precious little rest in the life of an Inquisitor. There would be none for her, not while Vangarich reigned in all but name. She rinsed her mouth out with water warm from the vessel's recycling systems and tainted with iron. Rendenstein fell into step with her as she left her quarters. These were relatively large and well appointed. The ship, though small, was designed to carry only a single Inquisitor and their retinue. Raznik waited outside. He too fell in with her, walking at her left shoulder, Rendenstein at her right. The cutter was 200 meters long in total, the habitable section considerably less. They were on the command deck in seconds. Venand stopped at the threshold of the door. Through the oculus of the ship, Saturn turned serenely, its rings shining in the sunlight over a striated body the colour of recaf mixed with dairy fats. Its many moons paraded round it like pearls. Venand had been all over the galaxy, but this world had always been special to her, if only because Saturn was forbidden. Unlike its brother Jupiter, Saturn was not ringed by orbital habitats. Remnants of those predating the Imperium added to its flock of moons, but there was nothing inhabited, no mining platforms, no gas extraction or research stations. Compared to the rest of the overexploited solar system, Saturn was pristine. The cutter flew around the gas giant, skimming the rings at distances as little as 20,000 kilometers. A caramel orb rose from the shoulder of the giant, massive as a planet, dwarfing its brother and sister moons.
"Titan, my lady," said the captain.
He adjusted his course, pointing the sharp nose of the cutter directly at the hazy world. Red lights and alarms flashed over every display.
"Halt and turn back. This world is Perdita by order of the Holy Inquisition of the Emperor of Mankind. Turn back or be destroyed. Halt," began a message, and then repeated on a loop.
"Inquisitor Venand, Margaretha, A. Ident code Sigma 5 full black delta. Requesting permission to land.
Code not accepted. Halt and turn back. This world is Perdita by order of the Holy Inquisition of the Emperor of Mankind," said the message again.
Warnings bleeped. The ship's master of auger and arms spoke.
"They're locking onto us. Not much, but it'll finish us if they fire."
Venand flexed her hand. The implant that had burrowed into her flesh from Veritas hampered her movement, grinding against her tarsal bones. She yanked off her glove.
"Give me a data reader. Key it into the vox. Broadcast it to the source of that message."
"Yes, my lady. In what form is the data to be read?"
"I don't know. Try them all," she said.
More alarms went off.
Halt and turn back. This world is Perdita by order of the Holy Inquisition of the Emperor of Mankind. Turn back or be destroyed, said the message.
The Master of Augur and Arms indicated a green panel. She flexed her hand again and spread it over the glass. The machine tried every wavelength in the electromagnetic spectrum before switching to audible bands. Finally, the thing in her palm vibrated, and the device chimed.
Halt and...
The message stopped. The vox shifted.
A human voice replaced the machine's. Veritas is dead, it said.
He is dead, said Venant. I am the inquisitorial representative to the Senatorum Imperialis, one of the High 12 of the High Lords of Terror. Veritas nominated me as his successor, as liaison between the Inquisition and the Grey Knights chapter, Adeptus Astartes, number 666. I wish to meet with Supreme Grandmaster Janus.
The reply was immediate.
Have your ship follow these coordinates to high anchor. Lady Inquisitor, you may break orbit and descend, but only you. Fail to obey these two instructions, or any further forthcoming, and your vessel will be destroyed.
The voice snapped off. The Master of Augur and Arms attempted to raise them again, but the void remained silent.
Friendly, aren't they? Said Raznik.
We should come with you, said Rendenstein. I'll go alone, said Venant. I should be safe enough.
But she didn't believe it. Venant's ship dropped through the upper layers of Titan's hazy gas envelope. The void was lost to sight. Saturn's domineering presence was visible for a few seconds longer as a brown disk in the haze, and then that too was gone, and she was enclosed by yellow organonitrogen murk. Hands, awkward in the gauntlets of her void suit, rested lightly on the shuttle's sticks as the roar of atmospheric entry built around the craft. Augur pulses showed nothing dangerous around her, but she scanned the close horizon through the cockpit automatically, tensely searching for hazards she couldn't possibly see. Reflections on the visor of her suit limited what she could see as much as the organic soup of the air. Flying blind, she was reliant on the craft's suite of sensors. The altimeter rolled down. The hull's temperature rose. A brief period of turbulence marked her transition from the upper atmosphere to the lower. The haze thinned, becoming clouds. Through the orspex of the ship, she received visual representations of the ground below and fleeting visible light glimpses of the landscape. She fired the ship's rockets, increased gain to its grav systems. Inquisitorial craft were outfitted with a pinnacle of Adeptus Mechanicus technology, and the approach was smoother than a lesser ship's. The craft leveled out. She banked round, flying in broad circles in search of a beacon. The hull's outer temperature plummeted now re-entry friction had stopped. Down the thermal gauge went, impossibly low. Titan was beyond cold. Venan dropped lower, skimming over a volcano, spewing ammonia water ice. Thick, greasy snowflakes of methane-ethane splatted on the cockpit. Lakes of oily hydrocarbons passed under the ship's keel, fed by lazy rivers. Around she went again. Various indicators blinked amber on the ship's flightboards. The temperature and atmosphere taxed its systems.
Where are you? She said. Where are you?
A nav beacon lit up on her main display, pulsing bright yellow in a tangle of contour lines. Breathing a prayer of relief, she swung the ship around and locked on to the location, relinquishing control to the ship's machine spirits. The craft flew over more of a strange, mottled landscape. Titan appeared habitable when viewed from safety. It was a lie. If she stepped outside without her suit, she'd die. She had seen airless worlds and death planets and worlds consumed perpetually by fire, but never had she had cause to come somewhere as cold as this. Titan exceeded all parameters Terran life had set itself. It was hard to imagine space marines living there. Jagged peaks of ice appeared ahead. At such temperatures, water took the place of rock. Low gravity allowed tectonic upthrust to make them oddly tall. They were fairy peaks, something from a child's tale. The ship flew right at them. Venant looked long at the approach vector, described on a glass screen as a tunnel of boxes rushing over the representation of the ship. She looked back at the mountains, seeing no sign of any structure. Perhaps this was how the Grey Knights dealt with unwanted visitors. Staged accidents were easier to brush away than unexplained weapons discharge. An ice cliff came at her, black as night and harder than granite. She held her breath. At 500 meters, green light shone from no discernible source, illuminating a gate of plain plasteel for less than a second before blinking out. The gate vanished again, the cliff becoming totally black in the hydrocarbon snow. Venand let the ship fly right at it, trusting the light to be an invitation to an open way and not a quick route to death. The gate was open. A lighter's beams shone into a small rectangular space big enough to accommodate a single Space Marine gunship, no more. She swore loudly and slammed on the front jets to full burn. A smooth ice wall rushed at her. Then she stopped abruptly, slamming painfully into her seat restraints. A flashing light drew her attention to a data screen. Her ship had been caught in a gravity sling, like a ball in a glove. "Land," said a voice through the vox. She activated the ship's landing cycle, and the sling shut off. Her lighter touched down on a metal floor. A moment later, it began to sink down a shaft. Hardened plasteel runners were embedded directly into the rock ice. Every 30 meters, dim yellow lumens punctuated the shaft, the only lights besides those of her ship. The elevator came out into a huge cave. The platform touched down and rotated. Metallic clanks sounded underneath her, and the ship was conveyed sideways, then backwards, and brought to rest in a docking bay carved from the ice of the moon. There were many of these stalls, each one occupied by a thunderhawk in a bluish-silver livery. Venand waited in her restraints for further instruction. "Hello?" she said into the vox. "What do I do now?" Receiving no reply, she decided to leave. The gauge showed the temperature in the hangar to be minus 50 degrees, warmer than the surface, still ultimately deadly. The ship's ramp opened. She punched open her belt locks and exited into the hangar. It glowed with soft blue light, under which the Thunderhawk slept, glittering with carbon frost. Water ice furred their heraldry of a book transfixed by a sword. There were other ways into the hangar, she saw, and other kinds of ship. A broad ramp led lower into the icy bedrock, marked with the imprints of tank treads. She turned around, seeking a way out. Seeing none, she went to the cave wall where she found a door hidden by a natural camouflage of frost. "This is Inquisitor Venand. I have done as instructed. Are you going to leave me here?" The imperiousness of her voice in the silent chamber abashed her. Lights blinked over the door. With a sighing groan, it cracked open, shedding plates of ice and showers of hoarfrost upon the threshold. Beyond the door stood a Space Marine unlike any other she had ever met. He was ageless in the way of the Adeptus Astartes, but carried an air of great venerability that outmatched even that of Veritas. His face was leathery, tanned by the light of myriad suns, and wrinkled with fine lines. The skin was folded with age over his eyes, one of which had a pronounced squint, the mark of an old injury, perhaps, and his forehead was a mass of long-service studs. In the deadly cold, he was barefoot and wore simple robes. Plumes of steam blew from his nostrils with each steady breath. Despite his great age, he was tall and proud, his physiology distorted by his enhancement, neural plugs glinting in the grotesque musculature of his arms, but it was his psychic potency that took her aback. Venand was no psyker, although many inquisitors were, but still she could feel his power emanating from his eyes. A nimbus of light from some internal source shone around his head. Venand was overwhelmed by a sense of the holy. This was a warrior saint. She was one step from the Emperor himself, and she fought the urge to prostrate herself before him.
"I am Supreme Grand Master Janus of the Grey Knights," he said.
He looked on her. She felt the touch of his hand on hers, and she shivered.
"I am Inquisitor Venand. I bring you news of a reorganization within our Ordos, and the formation of an order of specific relevance to your brotherhood."
"Sindarman told me this day would come. I grieve for his passing. He was an old friend and will be missed. But it is best not to dwell on the past. What has gone cannot be helped. Only the future may be saved. I sense now is the time for new friendships.
He stood aside and held open his arms in welcome.
You may enter, Lady Inquisitor Venand. Come, we have much to discuss.